Galatians 2, verse 11 to 21 says, "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in the hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? He who are Jews by birth are not Gentile sinners. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by Christ and not by observing the law. But by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who lived in me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing."
Thank you for your reading. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. It's one of my favourite ones. It's good to be here to worship with you again this morning and to lead you in God's Word. And the sermon I'm going to preach to you today is part of a series of sermons I'm doing on the book of Galatians in celebration of the Reformation. And I've been looking at that book all through the year at Australind, and the sermon here is one of the less controversial ones in the series. It's a beautiful sermon. It's one of my favourite passages in Scripture. I'm just going to read it with you again, and from verse 19 on, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." And I just love the book of Galatians. And why do I love it so much? One word can sum it up: freedom. That's what Martin Luther discovered at the Reformation: freedom. Human beings love that word, freedom. Because when God made us at the beginning of time, he made us in his image, and part of that image is freedom. The freedom to make our own decisions and choices in life. Now, when our children grow up, as we know as parents, one of the tensions in the home is when our young people want the freedom to make their own decisions, and we as mum and dad are not ready to give them that freedom yet. Later on in the book of Galatians, Paul uses this very example to illustrate our freedom. He tells us that when we were under the Old Testament, God's people were kept under check with all sorts of rules and regulations like children being kept under a parent or a guardian. But when Jesus came, he brought the children into a position of maturity. So it's like a young person becoming an adult and all of a sudden finding themselves no longer under the guardianship of his or her parents, being an adult, being free and responsible to make their own decisions and choices in life. It is for this freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, just imagine with me for a moment if you had been one of the Jewish leaders who for the whole of the Old Testament period they've been guardians of the law, who enforced the law. Can you imagine how difficult the whole idea of freedom was? Very much like when parents find it very hard to let go of the control of their children. You see, if I allow my children to be completely free, just imagine what they might do. I, as a parent, I prefer to tell them what to do because without my supervision, they might mess it up completely. Well, that's the background to our text today. Paul had learned the awesome message of gospel freedom. And it's this message of freedom which he preached everywhere in the Gentile world. It set the world alight. His own home church in Antioch also rejoiced in this gospel freedom. But then early in chapter 2, we read that some false brothers from Jerusalem rocked up in Antioch. In chapter 2, verse 4, when it says false brothers, the Greek word is parasitos, parasites. They were false brothers who infiltrated the church in Antioch to spy on the freedom which these new believers had in Christ. And their whole intention, of course, was to stop that idea of freedom and bring the new believers back under the law again. And this was a very big thing in the New Testament. As we read in our passage earlier, in verse 11 on, even Peter and Barnabas were being sucked into this. And Paul had to take a strong stand against these brothers for the sake of the gospel and the sake of freedom. So if Peter and Barnabas fall into this, can you imagine how easily we too can fall into a legalistic mindset? Now, for a moment, let's stop and try to get into the head of these Jewish leaders and trace out how they were thinking. For illustration purposes, let me call them Jewish parents, and the Jews under them were their children under their care, and the new Gentile believers were like adopted children being adopted into the family of God. And the Jewish parents said, now, all these rules and regulations are in place for a very good reason. They teach our children how to live in a way that pleases God. But now all these new children are being adopted into our family, our Jewish family, and you're telling them they're no longer under the old rules? More than that, you're telling us as parents that our own children aren't under those rules anymore? Do you realise what you're doing? If you set the children free from the rules, what you're saying to them is it's free for all, you can do what you like. Do you realise where this will lead? Lawlessness and wickedness and godlessness. Everyone will be doing what is right in their own eyes, and it will all be your fault because you set them free from the rules. Freedom promotes sin. Verse 17, your so-called Christ is a promoter of sin. Don't take away the rules because sin will abound. Do you know what the scary thing about this is? The way that these same words echo around many Christian churches today. I spoke with someone about freedom quite a while ago and they later approached me. And they said to me, Peter, I'm a little bit worried that you're taking away the law. The thinking is we need the law to tell us how to live. And if you take the law away, do you realize where this will lead? People are going to do what they like. And I think to myself, isn't that the point of freedom? People in walking in fellowship with God, doing what they like. In fact, here is the whole secret of the Christian life in one sentence. If I like what God likes, I can do what I like. If I like what God likes, I can do what I like. And if then in my freedom I go and commit adultery, does that mean, verse 17, that Christ promotes sin? He's a servant of sin? Of course not. It just shows that I'm a sinner. But the point is that if I am deeply loved by God, and if as a result I love God and I love my neighbour, do you think in my heart of hearts I want to commit adultery? Of course not. As Christians, if the Holy Spirit is living in our hearts, we really do want to please God. Because the Holy Spirit takes those same commandments and he writes them on our hearts, and we like what God likes. We really do want to please him. We don't always do so. But if we belong to Jesus, holiness is our heart's desire. It's nothing to do with the obligation of law. It's everything to do with love and the freedom of love. Well, that puts the passage we're looking at today into a bit of context. And the rest of the passage today, verses 19 to 21, are one of the best passages in the Bible describing the driving force of the new Christian life. And it's not law. We read that the first point is that through the law I died to the law that I might live for God. Do you know the main function of the law is to kill you? The law is there to make us realize how sinful we really are. It's there to kill us, destroy us, undermine every last bit of self-confidence that we might have. It's there to demolish us in all of our pride. So we read the Ten Commandments in their outward form, and you think to yourself, I'm not doing too bad. I haven't killed anyone lately. I haven't committed adultery. Not bad at all. But when you look at the inner intent of the law, as Jesus explains it in the Gospels, all of a sudden I start to realize how sinful I still am. To love God with all of my heart and soul and mind, I'm so far from that love. And to love my neighbour with all my heart and soul and mind, not to think bad thoughts, not to envy, not to lust, not to get angry, I'm so far from that. And the main reason God gives us his law is to make us aware of how deep sin runs in our hearts, to make us see that without a saviour we are completely undone. It's there to drive us to Christ. It's there to kill us of all our self-confidence, all self-hope, all self-righteousness, all looking towards ourselves. Because when we do look within ourselves, all we should see is failure and inability and hopelessness. The law kills us. The law kills us. And that's what Paul talks about in verse 19. Through the law, I died to the law. And Paul's point in verse 19 is that we should up trying so hard to keep the law. If you put your focus on the law, it will get you nowhere. We think that we are a people, that if we are a people who focus ourselves on pleasing God, that is a humble thing to do. It's not humble, it's proud. The law has not yet stripped you of your self-confidence. Let the law kill you. Realize that you really can't keep it. And so what you should do is give up on the law and focus on God instead. Through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I love the way that Presbyterian pastor Stephen Brown puts it. He says, if you focus on the law, it leads to guilt. It makes you realize that you've failed. So your guilt will lead to struggle. As you say, I must try harder to keep the law and do what pleases God. Still very proudly thinking you can do it. But the struggle, of course, leads to failure. And failure leads to more guilt. And in the end, you get so much guilt happening that you give up on the law because you can't do it anyway. And it eventually leads to hardness of heart and apostasy of heart. It's a process where you put yourselves under the law. You say you're going to try and try and try. You never make it, and you eventually give up completely. On the other hand, there is another process that begins with freedom and love. And it goes like this. God's love that sets you free leads to guilt. God's love for you makes you see how much you have sinned and how far you still are from pleasing him. And the more that you see how much he loves you, the more you realize the depth of your sin. And then your guilt leads to confession. Confession leads to more forgiveness. Complete forgiveness leads to worship. And worship leads to obedience. In other words, give up focusing on the law, it will do you no good. Turn your eyes completely away from all self-hope and self-help. Humble yourself completely. Focus on Christ in the gospel, and you will find obedience comes tagging along like a dog on a lead as a fruit of your relationship with Christ. And that's what Paul indicates in the next part of the verse where he says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Does Paul mean that he was actually crucified on the cross with Jesus? Of course not. Paul realizes that Jesus died on the cross on the one hand to pay for all of his sins, and on the other hand, to completely obey God in complete obedience on Paul's behalf. Do you realize we need these two things to get to heaven? Not only do we need the forgiveness of our sins, we also need to be completely righteous and holy and good. If we do not have holiness, we will not see the Lord. And in these verses, Paul recognizes that Jesus, in his death on the cross, has accomplished both of these things for us. Yes, he died for our sins, but he was also perfectly obedient to God for us. And what that means is that we no longer have any obligation to the law because Jesus did it all. He kept it perfectly on our behalf, and he paid the penalty of our sins. And so the law of God, which is always against me no more, because Jesus has done it all. And that is why Paul can say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What Paul means is that the whole foundation of his life is found in Jesus Christ. Paul is no longer proudly focusing anymore on trying to be a good person before God. He's instead humbly focusing on Jesus alone, who is the reason why he stands before God completely right and loved and holy and pure. Jesus didn't just die for him, Jesus lived for him. And now, because of what Jesus has already done, he has achieved the goal. No longer does he need to work so hard in keeping the law. Christ kept it for him. And so instead of proudly focusing on all the things that he needs to do, he is humbly focusing on the work that Jesus did for him. And he explains this even further in the following verse. He says, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And that is the most magnificent description of what the Christian life is all about. The life I live not by so proudly focusing on keeping God's commandments, thinking that I can keep them in myself. I can't. I can't do it. I'm a sinner through and through. No, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see it? The whole of the Christian life is turning away from ourselves, dying to ourselves, dying to all self-hope, and finding all our everything in Christ alone. The whole Christian life is focusing on Jesus and his work on the cross. It is the life of faith, the life of trust, where our hearts are brought into tandem with God's heart. And as Paul goes on to show later in the chapter, or later chapters, it is through this faith in Christ, as we have the eyes of our hearts fixed on Christ, that we receive the Holy Spirit. As we focus on Jesus and on the cross and all that Jesus has done, the Holy Spirit comes in. And what does he do? He fills our hearts with wonder and with amazement. And with a wonderful sense of joy and love and peace. And as we just keep our eyes focused on Jesus alone, he gives us his wonderful assurance that we are the blood-bought children of God. He fills our hearts with love for God. And as I said in that earlier illustration from Pastor Stephen Brown, this realization that we are so deeply loved by God leads to guilt. We look at how much he loves us and how little we love him, and it breaks our heart. It puts us to shame. We are so ashamed that we loved so deeply yet sinned so much, and guilt leads to confession. We say, "Lord, you have loved me so much, I love you so little. Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I didn't do what you wanted me to do." And confession leads to forgiveness, where the Lord says, "I know, my child. I know. I know your sinful heart. But I love you and I forgive you." And this amazing ongoing forgiveness by our Father in heaven, it leads us to stand in awe of him and to love him even more and to worship him. As we realize everything we have in Christ, it leads to worship. And as we are brought to worship, we start to live in worship. And as we live in worship, automatically we find we start to obey. The whole Christian life is found in worship. We start to obey, not yet perfectly, but we're now in this upward spiral of confession, forgiveness, worship, and an ever-growing love for our Lord Jesus Christ, a spiral that will keep on drawing us upwards and upwards, closer to his heart, until we see him face to face. And that leads to our last verse today, verse 21, where Paul says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, Christ died for nothing." And I don't need to say too much here, except that the very reason Jesus died was to do what we could not do. The very reason Jesus died was to do what we could not do. Our salvation, our eternal life, our joy, our peace, our whole Christian life is all completely bound up in what Jesus did for us. This passage is one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture, explaining the very heart of how to live the Christian life. And so my word to you is, don't ever focus on the law. Don't focus on all the things you need to do to please God. And later in this series, I explain the place of the law in the Christian life. But my word to you at this time is, don't focus on all the things you need to do. Rather, focus all your focus on Jesus, your Saviour. Enjoy your relationship with Him, letting the greatness of His love, no matter what, overwhelm you. And in His love, you'll be free. Free to enjoy God in the cross, free to worship Him, free to love Him, free to serve Him, free to look to Him and enjoy Him. Free to fail, free to sometimes make some stupid mistakes, free to sometimes make some wrong decisions, free to struggle in the Christian life without faith, free to be a child of God, allowing Him to love you and allowing yourself to love Him back. And then you ask, what about holiness? What about holiness? What is it with our fixation on holiness? Don't worry so much about holiness. Holiness is not foundational. Holiness is the fruit of a love relationship with God. When your heart is entwined with His in love, holiness will be the fruit. When you just focus on enjoying your relationship with God and living in the wonder of His love as a blood-bought child of Jesus Christ, you'll find holiness comes tagging along like a dog on a lead. And this no longer is surface holiness, a keeping of the outward commandments, but it's a real obedience. It's obedience which comes from heart, which is overflowing with love, worship and gratitude to God. Let's pray.